for a minute after
about jealousy. I have a couple books with me that I'll be referencing as we go through. These are recommendations from Papa Tony and from Magnum. The one is called The Male Couple. So male-male couples are kind of different than, you know, heterosexual couples. This book kind of talks through the stages that a typical male couple goes through. The other is called The Ethical Slut, which goes through non-monogamous relationships, the different variations, kind of how that works, and talks, you know, heterosexual, lesbian, gay, everything in between.
Who's read either of these books?
I read The Male Couple when it came out in the 1980s, and my then partner and I interviewed its authors.
Oh, so you can be involved in.
So a little bit of motivation, like, why are we talking about jealousy? From The Male Couple, they did a study in 1974 where there were 312 gay men that they interviewed who were mostly in the San Diego area. And they were just trying to understand more about, you know, how are gay couples different. And they found that many of the values and practices that are kind of normal in heterosexual relationships are absent in male couples. They said it was startling to find that some of the qualities identified with stability and intimacy between opposite sex partners can be detrimental to homosexual relationships. Although most gay couples begin their relationships with implicit or explicit sexual exclusivity, only 7 of the 156 couples in the study considered themselves consistently sexually monogamous the entire time.
Whoa.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the rest were like,
that was.
Yes, that was in 74.
That's 40 years. Yeah, things
right. I mean, things may be different somewhat now, but it just goes to show that as gay males, non-monogamy is likely something that's going to come up. So being able to handle jealousy is an especially important skill for all of us.
The years have passed, but nothing's changed.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to close this off.
And one of the periods where this can kind of come up, especially if a couple didn't start out as non-monogamous, so they started with monogamy. When you get to the 4th or 5th year, there's a pattern that typically happens where there's the reappearance of the individual, and then during that stage, desires for sexual contacts outside the primary relationship can start to happen. And there's, let's see, a couple of people describe kind of how that was for them. So let's see. Although Steve did not have an early expectation of sexual exclusivity, after the first few months, he and Chris slipped into a monogamous relationship, which excluded outside sexual contact. Steve tells us, "Yeah, the tables really turned on me when Chris started talking about going to the baths again. I couldn't believe him at first. I figured he was tired of me and that I was going to get dumped." So, experiencing jealousy and kind of feeling, you know, making that personal, making them feel like, oh, you know, I'm not good enough, I'm going to get dumped. Another talks, when I started thinking about sex with other guys again, I couldn't help but figure Jim was having sex with his old friends. For me, I knew I could do it, and I'd come home for sure, but when I thought about him doing it, I went crazy. Sort of like a double standard, I guess. So that's a very common thing, where you're like, I could totally be fine with this, but no, he is not allowed to do it. And it doesn't make sense. You're like, well, why would you think that? But you have this jealousy that you're going through that makes you feel insecure about what's going on. So that's kind of some motivation. Why are we talking about jealousy? Let's see.
So that's what we're supposed to do.
What we're supposed to do? We'll get to that. I did want to kind of open up, you know, I've read a few excerpts open up to the group. What is jealousy to you guys, and how do you experience it? Jealousy can involve a lot of different emotions. Like the one person talked about kind of bringing it back on themselves, not feeling validated and that they were, you know, a good person. There can be a lot of anger. There can be kind of distrust, those sort of things. So how have you guys experienced jealousy, and what does that feel like to you?
I want to start out by recusing myself from the discussion because I lack jealousy. My whole life, I've never had even the slightest little smidgen of it, for whatever reason. I don't know, consider that good or bad. It's never been in me. My policy is, what sweetheart wants, sweetheart gets. You know, honey, I know you can suck dick deeper than that. Go for it. That's my policy. I mean, if that's the fantasy, I say, please, let me help you get your fantasy. So that's pretty much all I can contribute.
It's a good contribution, sir.
Well, I can speak to my jealousies and also my partner, who's not here, but he would not have a problem with me talking about it. Our relationship is pretty open, but the one thing that I find that I do get jealous about is if someone that he's interested in starts messaging him and he's more responsive to them than he would be to me. It's not that I'm worried about them playing together or ending up together, but I do get jealous of his attention as far as the time that he devotes to me. And, you know, if he wants to fuck them, that's great, but it's just that I'm still number one, and my attention to me comes before all these other people, and reminding him that that's the case, because it's not that he does it in a way to be inconsiderate. He just gets excited and caught up in the moment and starts thinking with the other head. So that's the one side of it. And then the opposite side, and this has happened with me too, where we have someone who's interested in one of us or the other one of us, but not both of us. And so if someone wants to play just with me and they're not really into him, but he likes them, it's very hard not to get jealous of the fact that it's like, well, I'd love to play with them too. Well, they like me specifically, sorry, whatever it is. You know, he and I look pretty similar, so, but there's some differences. So, you know, but the same thing happens with me too. There'll be guys that I'm like, oh yeah, I want to play with that one. And then, you know, they're not into me either. So it just, you know, chemistry isn't there. So that's our two biggest things with jealousy and having an open relationship is the, you know, me not getting primary attention when I feel I should be, or either of us not getting to join in on the fun because the person that wants to play around only wants to play with one of us.
I would have to add to, I've had several relationships. I do a thing where in the dating dance and stuff like that, and it's the way I believe in it, and they have to kind of come around to that belief too, that A, we have to respect each other for who we are and then who we are together. Secondly, it's got to be as much 100% trust. You can never get that, but as much 100% trust as you can. And I will trust my other half 100%. But when they, and I don't haunt them, I don't check their phone, I don't do all this stuff behind them back. But once something raises its ugly little head, then the trust meter goes way low. And it's not so much of a jealousy thing other than it's a disrespect to me. And I don't do it because it would be a disrespect to them, and I don't want them to be. But once it does that, then yeah, then it starts turning to, you know, a jealousy thing. And jealousy is probably one of the worst. I mean, if you're jealous of someone, that means you don't trust them. That means that there's, to me, there's not any respect. And you have to have those things in a relationship. All my relationships in the past have all been one-on-one relationships. They are not that way now. I have an open relationship with all of them. They have their own life. They have their own boyfriends, whatever. The pup, yeah, I kind of hang on to him a little bit more. But I trust him. I trust him. Even if he is young and cute, I still trust him. So I think, like I said, the jealousy thing, you've got to have the respect, the trust, and that goes a long ways toward not having jealousies towards somebody else.
So it sounds like for you, I'm hearing this trust, but then if there's any inkling of it's not, then like it's kind of the insecurity comes out, and you're like, oh no, I'm seeing this one thing, maybe that means this other thing's happening, this other thing's happening.
Right.
Your mind kind of just runs away with it. So there's maybe some, you know, like the little seed of an emotion there, but then it just kind of goes out of control.
Yeah.
The last, like I was thinking, you know, the last time I was feeling some jealousy between us, that I said, well, let me figure out what this is about. So I try to just not react to feeling that. I try to realize I'm feeling it and then go, so but what's going on there? Like, what's underneath it, right? And so what I realized, it was more of a communication thing than an actual that you're playing with somebody else. It wasn't that itself. It was more about the way we were communicating about it and negotiating, being our having an open relationship, than the actual act of him going and playing with somebody else. Where that's where I was getting those feelings. And so once I could figure that out, like we had a really open and a really good conversation about it, and it was fine after that. That's when I realized that, yeah, because this is my first open relationship, and we started out that way. And I didn't know how that would go, and but yeah, I was surprised at how I really wasn't that jealous about it. I was like, well, you know, this is fine. Like, I don't know why I was worried, or I think because of just social messaging.
Yeah.
Yep.
That I was told to believe that I had to feel a certain way.
Yep.
That the world was not monogamy, and then I was like, oh, let's try it. You know, and I'm like, well, okay, this is really, I don't get it. Like, why must we get so, act up so much about this? I don't know. I didn't get it. I was like, this isn't so bad.
I get jealous, but I don't get jealous. I'm a lot like Papa Tony. You know, if I call Dad fucking someone upstairs, I'm not going to give a shit. You know, I'm going to encourage him, you know, fuck the hell out of him. I don't give a damn. And that's completely fine with me. He can be sitting there kissing like, I don't give a shit. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But the thing is, it's like, if I catch him doing like the lovey-dovey stuff, is really going to get under my skin real quick. If I catch him, I go upstairs and he's cuddling with someone and they're getting real tight and close, and I see that, I mean, yo, that's fine. But I mean, if he's just doing it with some random boy that I've never seen, I'm going to get pissed, because that's my thing. You know, that's strictly between me and him. You know, the lovey-dovey stuff is our thing, and if anybody comes between it, I'm going to hurt them.
Tree guard.
Yeah. Well, you get thrown in a tree guard, I'm going to beat the hell out of them with a ball bat.
Recently, I have been put into a predicament. If you saw me last week on Friday at Harness, I was with somebody.
Yes.
And my friend Toby, one of my Facebook stalkers, now a good friend. I have like 4 people that follow me on Facebook that every time I post something, within 5 minutes, they like it. So then I met him a couple weeks ago at the hall, at the Wet Underwear Bear Night that I joined, and he came up to me and introduced himself to me. Do you remember me? Do you remember me? And I didn't really know who he was at that time. Because I never met him. I only know him from Facebook. And so we hung out for the very first time last week at Harness, and he is in a relationship with somebody who he lives with, and supposedly the older gentleman that he is with is kind of an open relationship-y type of person, but he's allowed to go and do whatever he wants, but yet he tells Toby cannot date other people. He's allowed to go hang out with friends and that kind of stuff, and I think that during Harness and stuff, and I met this person at the end of the night when he came and picked up for me, And I think that he thought more things were going on than what actually happened, and they got into a big giant fight. And I feel bad because I was part of it, and I don't know what to do. So I don't want to get into the middle of their situation, but I just feel that what they have is kind of messed up, that the older guy can go do whatever he wants, but this one needs to stay home. And that's true.
So the jealousy wasn't so much your jealousy, but you were affected by the situation.
Mm-hmm. You were the home wrecker.
Overspill.
If you look at the culture that we're in, I think a large amount of the reason why I am not jealous is because I grew up, like I said, in 12 years of Catholic school, and I was lied to about relationships, I was lied to about sexuality, about rules, about a whole shitload of stuff, so I had no trust of what the larger culture had taught me. I mean, by the time I was ready to start getting into relationships, I was ready to start over. And if you look at how loaded our culture is against adultery, committing adultery, or you go to the supermarket and there's those, you know, cheap rags there by the supermarket that are saying, Brad betrays Janet, or, you know, all this loaded terminology, you know, when a man starts fucking around with some, you know, young, pretty little, you know, snip, you know, that he's met, you know, because she's her, and he's, whatever, he's her teacher or something, then, you know, that's midlife crisis. So it's all this language in our culture. And as I've said before, the book that you're holding up, The Male Couple, very clearly taught me. I mean, I was there when they were writing. You know, I knew those guys. And it was very clear to me that male-male dynamics are very different. And as long as we pattern ourselves upon male-female dynamics, we're going to fail. That's why so many of the relationships break apart, because I call it the truthfulness speed bump. So, you know, I love you with all my heart and I need a night off. You know, so let's be truthful about it. You know, like I said, when Dennis and I first recorded 24 years ago, first thing I did is had him read the book. I wanted him to see where I was coming from, and when he did, I was his first long-term relationship, the first relationship he'd had more than 6 months. And 24 years later, we're still tight as can be, because we started with honesty about ourselves and about sexuality and, you know, how we are. And that's where the insecurity comes from. It's not knowing what's underneath the words versus with us, because we're clear in the first place. Like I said, I mean, for me, when we were first courting, we would drive down the road and there'd be some hot, humpy jogger, you know, meat flopping around in a pair of nylon shorts. We go, honey, check it out. I said, what? Come on, you're looking too. You want me to look? I said, why not? You like it? Take a look, enjoy. You know, for that matter, let's pull over. Manja, you know. But to me, that's the only healthy way to have a relationship, is just, you know, say, honey, I love you, and I'm a male. Males are wired to spread it around. Why should we pretend that we're, you know, trying to protect a nest full of eggs, and we're not? No, we're males. But that's just, sorry, opinion.
Well, actually, I was also Catholic school, so maybe that's where it comes from. I've also never experienced jealousy that I know of. I've always thought of it as basically an individual weakness or something like this, that you're insecure within yourself, and therefore you're jealous that somebody else is doing something. So
no,
I've just never really experienced it. And I was married for 31 years, and I also never ran around on my wife. And I cannot tell you why, because I don't know why. I don't understand it. But I didn't realize this aspect of my own temperament until my wife had died. And I did go to my priest because it really, I thought I was doomed to hell. So, but I never actually felt jealousy over anything. And so that's all I could say. You know, I don't really know what it is like to be jealous of someone.
It sounds like we're a pretty evolved group, and not many of us here experience jealousy super strongly, which I would say is a pretty good thing. Go us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share a little bit about what the book talks about from like what is jealousy, and so maybe these things that maybe we're not even as complete with because we're not feeling as strongly what others might feel like. So it says, jealousy is not one emotion. It's an umbrella word that covers the wide range of emotions we might feel when our partners make sexual connections with somebody else. Jealousy may be an expression of insecurity, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, feeling left out, feeling not good enough, feeling inadequate, feeling awful. Your jealousy may be based in territoriality, or in competitiveness, or in some other emotion that's clamoring to be heard. Sometimes it shows up as blind, screaming rage, and being blind can make it very difficult to see. So I'm actually really happy to hear that a lot of us don't feel that as strongly, but for some people it can be a huge sort of thing that's a big barrier.
I just wanted to add, one of the things why I never, my parents were not probably the best parents, their marriage wasn't the best thing or whatever, but I grew up seeing how the straight man and woman, you know, my dad, I'm sure he looked, my mom looked or whatever, but there was never, I don't think they ever got jealous of each other because they just didn't do those things. Gay guys, you know, we like to play around. We see something, it's like, ooh, I gotta have somebody. Not all, but on average. And I think with me, because I never had open relationships before, was because I was brought up, you know, it was my mom and my dad, so it's going to be me and you. That's it. You know, there's not, you ain't going to go play, I'm not going to go play. And I think you get this, and the reason why I never had open relationships was because I knew it was going to bring up jealousy on my part, for the simple fact that, what if he, and I'll pick on him, what if he goes home with some guy, and they connect, they get have a really good time, and they see each other again, and I know about it, I mean, you know, that's part of the open relationship thing, but after they see each other two or three times, and they're smoking their cigarette in the bed, and doing the after talk and stuff like that, what if he finds he has more of a connection with this person, so the next thing that's going to happen, he's going to come home and say, and this has happened to me before, I love you, but I'm leaving. And you're the one that, you know, gets hurt. So that's why I always said, no open relationships. Not going to happen. It's me, you, you know, that's the way it is. If you get tired of me, then you know what? You file for divorce or something. But so I think it's kind of how we're groomed to, you know, I model my relationships after my mom and dad, even though it's two guys instead of a man and a woman. And, you know, and I don't think having an open relationship is a sin because I don't put the religious part into it. But, you know, it's just, you just don't do that. And I sometimes wonder why gay people can't be more one-on-one. Why do we, it's fine to be a little slut at the bars when you're single, but once you meet the love of your life and you want to spend the rest of your life with your person, why can't you just play nice with each other and you don't have to have anybody else?
I can answer that. Because we have testicles.
Yes.
And they lead us around.
Yeah,
testicles. Yeah, that question. Orange shirt.
I just got two things. That umbrella of emotions.
Yeah.
I've not ever had a relationship that we would call like long-term dating or living together with another guy. Lots of reasons, but not the point. But I do see people, and one of those emotions I would throw in there would be envy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because I see people that are couples out doing things together and go, boy, I wish I could have that. Or whatever. I mean, I might be starting on something, so I'll keep my fingers crossed on that. And then the second thing was something that you said was, that's my thing. When you're cuddling. And it's similar to what you were talking about, but it's boundaries, and it was in there too. You know, if somebody's infringing on that boundary, or if I don't know where that boundary is and what's happening, that's where that stuff sort of rears its head. If we know where the boundaries are, wherever they may happen to be, and however, but we know that we're in this cool spot, everything's cool, or we have something to discuss. Maybe we define that boundary, figure out what that boundary actually is.
And it's secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one for me because I've been in a relationship for nearly 20 years, and to my knowledge, he's never seen anyone else, and I have. And, you know, my answer to your question is, you know, why can't, you know, you stay together if you really think of this person as the love of your life? And, you know, the answer, and I would say this generally and specifically about me, is, you know, maybe the love of your life in terms of the emotion, the intellect, the, you know, just wanting to be around this person, wanting to share his life.
Companionship.
And, yeah, and you know, someone who just, you know, really connects with you on all sorts of levels, and that there may be things that, you know, you want just pure damn and dirty sexual sensation that he's not interested in. And, you know, I do think, you know, remember when the book Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus was so popular, I couldn't, you know, one of the things that perplexed me was why didn't the author who was, you know, making this whole case that men and women are different sexually, that women have more of an emotional connection, men can just, you know, detach and go after the physical sensation, why didn't he do what scientists call isolate the variable? Why didn't he look at the people who don't have to deal sexually with the demands of the other gender,
yeah,
totally gay men and totally lesbian women? And certainly, you know, if you, you know, my experience in the gay male community for over 30 years has convinced me that, yeah, men do detach a lot more. You can have sex without, you know, any particular emotion towards their partners, can just, you know, do it for the physical sensation, or feel an emotional connection that isn't enough to build a relationship on, but is enough to say, okay, you know, we'll come over, we'll have fun, we'll relax a little, and then I'll go with my husband.
Recreational.
Yep.
So, yeah, being kind of monogamous in one sense, in that sort of like emotional connection sort of way, but being free to kind of
my husband is, you know, being clear intellectually, he doesn't approve, but I think as a matter of practice, he's adopted essentially the don't ask, don't tell policy about where I've been to and anyone else.
It's very prevalent.
Yeah.
On the idea of jealousy being an umbrella term, and so territorial jealousy and competitive jealousy, I can relate to this because I was in a very long relationship for more than 20 years did not have a sexual component to it. But yet there was jealousy. And the jealousy comes from, he's, look at all the guys he's getting, and I'm not getting the same thing. It's a competition. It's not jealousy that you're worried about it coming into the home and breaking the home up. It's just that I want what he's getting.
Right, so it's more like an envy, sort of competitive kind of jealousy.
Yeah, he was on the winning end of that, and I just don't have the makeup to do what he was doing, like every night, night after night. It's like, yeah, I have the male drive for that, but not to that extent, you know, to 5, 6, 7 times a week.
And I've known you for over a decade and wondered, what on earth is keeping those two together?
Yes. No.
So, especially in our community, where we're part of the kinky community, it's pretty common to have one person in a relationship who's kinky and another person who's pretty vanilla. So we kind of have like a special case of jealousy that we have to deal with, which is someone being jealous of us wanting to do this kink and not even understanding it. So that's kind of another point that I thought would be interesting for us to discuss. How have you been able to manage and work through jealousy with a partner, especially given a like kinky and not kinky sort of dynamic?
For me, the word jealousy never entered into it. The way that I explained it to Dennis, my husband, I said, there are things that I need to do that you clearly are not interested in. And it's very intense, and intense is not his thing. And so then I said, I need to go and do this. And when I come back, I'll be back in balance, because right now I'm out of balance. I need to really exert some of this very aggressive energy that's in me. And he really doesn't want even the slightest bit of aggressive energy. It's not his style. And so then when I explained it to him, and then I came back happy, then he realized that he's getting as much of me as he can handle, you know, and then says, go play. Because he doesn't mind at all. Because I come home much more centered after I've, you know, been doing some ferocious stuff that he wants no part of. So, you know, that's how it works with us.
I just want to add, and I think we'll all agree with this, take yourself, well, okay, some of you are young, but us older guys, take yourself back to when you were 22. Were you kinky fetish then? I mean, a lot of times I think what happens is you change. You know, what you like at 25, you may not like at 35, and so on and so forth. People change their thing, and I think, because I've gotten kinkier as I got older. I didn't start out fisting. You know, that's only been 10, 12 years ago. So I think people change, and some people are happy with the sexual lifestyle, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say, you know, vanilla, but I've seen a lot of relationships where they've been together for many, many years, and one has kink and fetish, and one is vanilla and is content with, you know, doing stuff at the house and going to play cards with the boys or whatever, and lets the other one go, knowing the other one's going to come back, and, you know, and they have date night. I think you say you'll have date nights together. Because I know a couple other couples that are in this kind of vanilla and fetish thing, and I think it's good. And in fact, I've teased him about, as I get older, my fetish card may get pulled one of these days, because I'm just not, it's just too much. So with him being young and being in the heart of it, I said, and no disrespect to you, but I've told him, I said, you may be, we may be like Papa Tony. I said, you'll be Papa Tony Jr. going out and doing your thing, and I'm going to stay at home and go and do and have what, you know, all the fun you want to, as long as you come back to me, as long as I get my time, as long as I get my date night and stuff like that. So I think you just have to kind of, you know, the person that you love, you should be able to negotiate and work everything out. And one of the things I was told, because this is my first open relationship, and I have a lot of people that have open relationships for 20-plus years, they told me you have to sit down and discuss what you want, what they want, compromise. You have to literally write it down. And every 6-8 months, you have to pull it out and renegotiate it. And that way you don't have any problems, any jealousy creeping up. You know, if I start feeling jealous, I say, okay, we need to talk before this gets worse than what it is. You know, and explain yourself. And
you made a good point, like writing
communications.
Things down and communicating. One of the things that kind of mentioned in the book where jealousy can lead us to do kind of crazy things is we'll make kind of retroactive agreements. Like, well, you should have known that when you went out to the movie with that one guy that I was not going to be okay with it. Therefore, you broke a rule that we didn't have.
You always call me and let me know where you're going to.
Right, if you make it clear,
I didn't
you make
know
the
that.
Rules, but you can't
you
like, go back
do.
In time
right.
and make a rule.
Right.
It's not really very fair.
I think that two of the things that have helped me with having a partner who's not necessarily vanilla but not really into BDSM or a lot of the, you know, the more involved kink, I guess you would call it, is a couple things that helped him adjust is including him where I can, where it wasn't going to be a complete snooze fest for him. Also, being in the beginning, I've been a little more attentive to him than at things where he comes along than I would be just to kind of make sure that he realizes that this is not a threat to you and I, this is just something that I do. And then the third thing is the thing that seems to be working the best, because every personality is different, you know, and you could tell someone something till you're blue in the face, but sometimes actions speak way louder than words, of just me being consistent in what I've said in the past and what I'm doing is what, you know, what I'm doing, you know, like, okay, I go and play, but then I come back to you. And I think the thing that's spoken loud enough, loudest to my partner is just the fact that I do come back every time. So, and being very conscientious of not changing the arrangement at the last minute, like going, oh, I'm going to stay an extra day, or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, if I say I'm going to be gone from Friday night until Monday morning, then I'm gone between Friday night and Monday morning. I can come home early if I want to, although that may screw up some of his plans. But, you know, consistency and doing what you say and, you know, and saying what you're going to do both ways, but actions a lot of times are really important, because that's the reassuring thing that you've followed through with what boundaries you've set.
So it's kind of cutting out some of that fear of the unknown,
right,
that your jealous partner,
right,
may be having.
Right.
You know, both with being consistent, and then you also mentioned, like, kind of showing a little bit of what's going on, so they're like, oh, okay,
right,
this isn't the crazy,
right,
scenario I had imagined in my head.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about it is he's been, I love him too. He just doesn't let me put a collar around his neck. So, I mean, he comes down, he spends the night there, and, you know, so he knows me, he knows them. So, I think he's comfortable in the fact that when he's not with him, he knows where he's at, and it's okay. So, I think that helps a lot too. And I think in some of the relationships, you know, the other person's like, I don't want to know them, I don't want to hear about it. And in this case, I think it works better because his partner knows me. He's, you know, he slept at the house. I made him breakfast. So he's part of the family. He just doesn't have a lock around his neck because he's not into that.
And
so I think
he benefits from the playroom a lot of times,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So.
He does have his little bit of fetish.
I think I'm like Papa Tony. I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I've had 3 relationships. One was for 10 years, one was for 6 years, one was for 13 years. They were all open relationships. I never even... And the other thing, too, was the first one was 10 years younger than me. Second one was 15 years younger than me. And the third one was 30 years younger than me. Now, as you're getting older, I can't keep up with an 18-year-old when I was 50. You know, I really just really couldn't do it. So they were all went out all the time. I had a career. I was a workaholic. I worked 50 hours a week, and I came home and then I, you know, I said, my God, thank goodness he's out tonight. I get a break. and I just never had a jealous bone in my body. We never even talked about it, and I felt that they loved me 100% as I loved them 100%. And love, and again, to me, like, sex is like, you know, if you play tennis, you can have a favorite tennis partner, but you don't want to play tennis with the same person all the time. I mean, I learned, you know, you learn new things, you know, that you may have never been exposed to if you go out, you know, if it's just the two of you, you don't have the opportunity to do it. Sex is fun. You know, that's what I do it for, is not to have kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's because I enjoy it. And I want to learn more and try new and different things. And I'm 66 years old, and I'm still trying new and different things that I haven't tried before.
Were you a Catholic, brought up Catholic, too?
No.
I'm curious about this Catholic no jealousy thing. I think that should be some kind of research thing. Anybody else in here that was Catholic? Do you have... I think that's interesting.
I'm not Catholic either.
Yeah, but you get jealous.
So, yeah.
I want to nominate my husband Dennis for sainthood. Can any of you men imagine living with me?
No way.
Oh. No.
The way that I describe it is that living with me is like sitting too close to a bonfire. I'm this intense all the time, and I wear his ass out. And so then he gets as much of me, like I said, as he can handle. So go play, go play. Well, what he's also learned is that I never bring bad people over. That if I bring someone comes over, immediately he likes them because he knows I have excellent taste in people. That I'm not going to bring over scumbags. That I'm not going to bring over users, abusers, you know, bullies, anything like that. That they're always sweeties. You know, it's all I care about is hanging around with really nice, admirable guys. And those are the only ones that ever make it over the threshold. Having said that, in the early days of our relationship, he's probably walked in on me walking fucking a guy at least 40 times. You know, and, you know, okay, he'll retreat and then, you know, come back later. But in the early days, we would do a lot of threesomes. Remember that policy where I said, what sweetheart wants, sweetheart gets. We'd be out at country western dance. There'd be a hot cowboy at the dance. And I'd go over to the cowboy, invite him over, befriend him, and I'd say, so, let's all go to my place. Really? Yeah. And then I would just, and see, because of lack of jealousy, I learned from my previous boyfriends how to have a perfectly non-jealous three-way every time. And the secret is somebody has to direct. That's me. Because, you know, the cowboy comes home with us, and he's not sure because there's this big guy there. You know, that clearly this one likes him a lot. And I'm just saying, come on, you guys, I want to see you guys kiss. That turns me on. Oh, yeah, that's hot. I bet you, you know, and I just basically direct. And they were perfectly happy to let me join in because I was clearly enjoying it and giving them permission. Oh, manja. Like I said, and that worked for a long time. And finally he got tired of the three ways and that was it. But, you know, frankly, he and I have not had sexual intercourse with each other in a long time. And as a male couple, that's pretty normal. And we're okay with that. We don't grieve over it anymore. We did for a while. We don't anymore. Now the relationship is very much, you know, about affection. If you see us out for dinner on a Friday night, we're always holding hands. We're always close. Then afterwards, we hold hands while we walk all the way through Hillcrest. I'll buy a little dessert, something like that. And we, you know, just enjoy each other's company. And he calls it, he needs his gaiety at the end of the week, where we go to the gay place. You know, he gets to check out the cute guys and we comment about it and all that. And it's very cute and it's very endearing. And we're so married. But our needs are in a different place. A relationship that's based only on sex is not going to last. In male-male relationships, it's just not. You have to have more than that.
It has to be evolving.
Oh, yeah. It has to constantly evolve, too. You know, and that's what happens. You know, we stay in communication. Instead of writing down our agreements, what we do is we talk in bed. That's our safe space. That's no matter what, we can always speak honestly. When we're in bed, we're covered. We're hanging out with each other. And I might start it out by saying, I've got a withheld communication. At that point, I go, because he never knows what the hell's going to come out of my mouth. But then I always, you know, defuse it by saying, I would like to spend more time with you because, I mean, let's face it, I'm gone a lot of evenings because I'm doing stuff like this, or teaching on Tuesday nights, or doing some other damn thing on a Monday night. And usually the only nights we really have together are Friday and Saturday. You know, but there's always something. I mean, I'm Papa Tony. But, you know, that seems to suit him well because he likes to spend a lot of time watching Beverly Hillbillies, the Rockford Files, you know, stuff like that. He's found the TV stations that feature that. He just consumes it. And I can't imagine doing that. So, you know, we have to connect in other ways.
Just go over and watch those with him. I like those.
Yeah. It's free cable channel. It's crazy. It's like Channel 101 or something like that. I'll have to find out. It's like MeTV. You got to look at
it.
So there was another sort of thing that the book brought up with dealing with conflict, and this can be in conflict arising out of jealousy or, you know, something else. But I figured it was something that would be useful to share with you guys. It's called using I messages. iPhone messages. It says, try speaking in sentences that begin with I feel.
Yeah.
There's an enormous difference between saying, you are making me feel so bad, and I feel so bad. The I message is a pure statement of feeling, and there's no accusation in it. When your lover doesn't feel attacked, and you don't feel the need to get defensive, he or she is free to listen to what you're actually saying. Conversely, if you start a sentence with you, especially you always, and your partner may well perceive an attack and respond defensively. The words I feel then need to be followed with an emotion. Sad, mad, glad, angry, or a physical feeling, like queasy, tense, wound up, shaky. Messages that begin with I feel that more often express a belief, like, I feel that we should not be enjoying so much sex. Or a covert you message that I feel that you are crazy. We're often tempted to describe our emotions in words that end in ED, as in, I feel judged, I feel attacked. But this is also a covert you message.
Yeah.
So what you're really saying is, you are judging me, you are attacking me. And most of us resent when another person tells us how we feel. Whether or not they're correct is immaterial. Like, they're trying to put words in my mouth, feelings in my head. I don't like that. It's a violation of our boundaries when another person presumes to tell us what our inner truth is. So this can be, whether it's jealousy or whether it's something else, a tool that you can use is try to use I messages when you're communicating in a conflict situation. Are there any other strategies you guys have found to deal with conflict, whether it revolves around jealousy or otherwise, as they come up in a especially poly sort of relationship?
Yes, I have experienced my fair share of this.
Baseball
cap. Very simple. When all hell breaks loose, when it breaks loose, it's gonna fucking break loose. The biggest thing is duck, dive, and dodge, and give them the time to cool down. And why they are enraged, everything they say, just let it go past your head.
And just put in a musical.
Because if you, especially when they're in that rage state and you try to start fighting back, you're just adding more gasoline and more dynamite to the fire. When they get that way, walk out the front door, go take a walk for about 10-20 minutes, because that's going to force them to cool down. And then, you know, when you come back and they're cooled down, then you give them a little bit of time to let them gather their thoughts. And I'll give them about another 30 minutes to an hour. Sometimes if it's really bad, you need to do it for 2 or 3. Maybe you might even have to wait a whole full 24 hours. And then once they gather their thoughts, you let them come to you. And I found that's the best way, because when they finally come to you, they're fully cooled down, they fully gather their thoughts, and they're wanting to talk.
Well, your ex must have been an asshole.
Exactly. The crazy rage that they're throwing at you.
Not going to
be part of it?
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to be part of it. Yeah.
I'd say some things that really help is don't get into something deep late at night. When there's something bothering you, don't deal with it late at night, or don't bring it up first thing in the morning. Either way, you're blindsiding someone with it by bringing it up, because they're either trying to relax to get ready to go to sleep, or they're just waking up and are caught completely off guard, that you need to plan a specific time and say, hey, we need to talk about something, and do that, and don't just drop it on them.
Relating to what John just said, I always heard the saying, when you're in a relationship, don't ever go to bed mad.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. That's been true for us, very much so.
Because when you go to bed mad, it's 3 times worse the next morning.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing about it is by 6 o'clock in the morning, you're both tired. You're like, fuck it, okay, I love you. Let's go to bed. I surrender, they surrender, it's over.
Maybe this is just my thing, but you do not bring strangers into the home. Just pick up an anonymous sex thing, just somebody you just met. No, they don't come into the home. Now, in this fucked up relationship I had for 27 years, that was my one of my rules was, like, you don't bring anybody home unless you know them really, really well. And that's I just kept it at that. But strangers, no. And not only for jealousy, but, you know, for safety. That's my thing.
Well, and I think, too, like Papa Tony said, that a couple have to have that neutral ground, which you said was your bed. So, you know, you can play all day long in the other room with a sling or something like that, but, you know, I'm sure he doesn't bring anybody into their bed, and he doesn't bring anybody into their bed. They can use the bed in the guest room or something, but, I mean, you have your room, your, either whether it's your whole room or that you share with your partner or the bed itself, but you know, nobody gets in that bed.
Yeah.
And you keep that as a special.
Right. So whether the space is like your whole space, you know, not having people in, or whether you're kind of a little bit more comfortable and have your own bed, but having that safe space.
Take them to the base.
Right.
Yeah. So we just drink them together, so we have a new dynamic to work through because we lived separately for the first over a year that we were together. We obviously weren't in any rush to move in together. But it was time, you know, and there's a huge benefit. It's been really nice. But there's other trade-offs and, you know, some of the new things that we have.
And that is one of the agreements that we made. There's no one in our space. If you're going to do something good.
Unless we bring them home together.
Right. Then
and that's all.
I've been around a long time. I've known a lot of long-term relationships. Each one of them is different. Each one of them has different agreements. Each one of them has found some way to manage to stay together despite the fact that the both sets of testicles are dragging in different directions. There are men here in town who always are in three ways, but the relationship is different in that there's the main couple, and then one of them always has a live-in boy. That live-in boy does the cleaning, he's like the house boy, that he's getting in return for all this, he's getting all this kinky stuff in return, but he's learning, he's growing, and then when that relationship is done, then the next one moves in within about a week. You know, that there's always that. And the other one is not into having a boy, but he thinks it's amusing and, you know, useful because the boy will buy new sheets for the main bed as a gift, or you know, really does a bang-up job on the tile work in the bathroom or something like that. So it's kind of handy for him. So he thinks it's convenient, even if he's not getting any of that side note. He just thinks it's very amusing and fun, and they've been doing that for decades. You know, each relationship's going to be different.
For, like, the safety and all that, when you're bringing new people over, this is kind of what I've always done, and, you know, my dad's kind of the same way about it. You know, if they come over and we don't know them, someone's always in the room with them. We don't really like for them to go upstairs unaccompanied. So, like, they go take a shower. Normally, one of us goes up there and watches them, make sure they're actually going into the shower. They're not sneaking off and, you know, hey, what's it? Do this drawer and this drawer and this drawer. You know, if they're in the dungeon, yeah, they can stay in there. I don't care. But, you know, around the living room, all the fancy electronics, yeah, we do watch them. We make sure they're not going to steal anything. And if they're someone we know, we don't care.
Well, a footnote to that, too, is we don't really go for the one-night stand. So we look for someone that wants to learn their vanilla, and they want to learn flogging or be flogged, learn to, you know, be flogged, that type of thing. So we usually talk to them quite a bit. And then we meet at Starbucks and do face-to-face and visit and, you know, after we said, okay, we'll get back with you. And then he and I discussed. I'm like, oh, he's a real fruit. And you know, so, so that's kind of the best way to kind of do that thing, too, is not bring them straight home.
Yeah, because then you can actually fill them out. And, you know, sometimes when you meet them online, you know, they're not exactly what they look like in their picture and all that type of stuff. So, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is what I expect. What the fuck is this? You know, that's not arriving at your front door. That's arriving at Starbucks, you know, in Chula Vista. You're just like, oh, look at the time. My car broke down. I got to just look for random bullshit.
I think that sacred space is very subjective, too. And, you know, just a funny little side note for me, it's just the pillows off my bed and also my bath towel. Those are like a couple things that I want to use, and I don't want them to smell like anybody else when I come home. So other than that, it's like pretty much everything is fair game other than, you know, personal effects. But it's sometimes, you know, sacred space can be as little as just like a couple pillows and the bath towel going in the closet where they don't get grabbed by someone else who thinks, oh, this is fine to use. And you know, that's all it takes to piss me off is like, oh, why do these are my sheets and now I have to wash them, you know, so something like that. So, but it's different for everybody. Some people it's the bedroom, some people it's the bed. With me, it's just the pillows and the bath towel, so that I come home and have my couple things that are exclusively mine.
Your space.
Yeah.
One of the things I was, and this is what we were talking about kind of in the beginning of the part, I've never understood the reason a lot of people can't separate the sex and love. I've run into this is not him at all. This is, you know, my exes in the past, but the one I previously with, we had such a hard time because with him it was always, you know, sex with anybody was, you know, making love. And I'm like, no, there's times where you just go over to someone's house and they're either your dildo or they're your flash and they're your portable fleshlight, and yeah, bust a nut and then you go home. But and yeah, there's been like once or twice where they're like, so can we go and start dating? I'm like, no, I gotta go. No, that ain't gonna work. But I never understand the reason people can't separate the two. Because we've all had sex, and then we've all had a partner and actually made love, and then they're totally different from each other.
I think it's a lot of that, and I mean, others, you know, trying to, but I think it's kind of the messaging that we've been given, you know, growing up in like a heteronormative environment where you get married and all of that. It's like the sexual act is like confined to a relationship of love, and so then that's the only place it can be. And so I think that can be definitely one of the things that causes great jealousy of people if they're seeing a sex act, and then they're like, you're saying, that means love. That means like he loves person, and I thought he loved me, and you know,
I'm melting
down, all this crazy.
Yeah,
that's
I kind of think that's
the
programming we've been given.
Yeah,
because
it's what
that,
we've been taught.
Yeah, because that's what my ex was. Because, you know, we talked about having an open relationship, he was okay with, but once he saw me actually having sex with another person, he went all off on the love section. I'm just like, no, we're fucking. Once I get done fucking him, he's going home. I'm probably not even going to call him again. I mean, the other thing I've noticed is, like, if I don't even like the person or I can't even get a somewhat of a connection with them, I can't have sex with them. As in, you know, I have to know that we are somewhat compatible, as in sexual-wise, because I can't just, okay, bend over, I'm going to fuck you. I need to know that what we like kind of sexually is kind of the same. But for a relationship and love-wise, that's totally fucking separate.
Yep.
So I think the strategies that you know, other people might have to go through to work through jealousy might not be things that we personally need to deal with, since it seems like we're kind of an evolved group. Jealousy is not a huge sort of thing. But in our partners, it might be something that we need. So strategies to kind of work through this, often, or one of the big ones it talks about in the book, is actually feeling the feelings. A lot of people are so afraid to, like, look at these feelings that they, like, act out irrationally and just do crazy sort of things. You know, they go off the wall, you know, they're making accusations, they're, you know, curling up in a ball, it's the end of the world. But trying to feel what it is, so kind of looking at it, okay, I'm feeling disgust, or I'm feeling you know, different, how I feel jealousy. You know, I'm feeling this envy, what it is, kind of working with that. And then once you've kind of felt it, then oftentimes you discover it's not as bad as you were thinking. Mm-hmm. Like you thought this was going to be this huge monster of a feeling, and now you've kind of actually lived through it. You're like, okay, maybe this sucks a little bit, but I can get through it. So that might be something for our partners that we could give them as an opportunity, since, you know, ourselves, we may be very comfortable with it and not understand why they don't get it. But if we can share that with them, that may be something that they can.
I think I've gotten in touch with some jealousy after all. A while back, I was moderating a discussion on jealousy. I'm jealous of the fact that you're much better at it than I am.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
good.
A lot of passion, a lot of research, a lot of... Yeah. You were on the job. Very nice.
Thank you. And it's great to see the younger people doing as good as us old guys.
You've got a lot of good points that you've been making, very deep, very thoughtful. It's wonderful. Please do this sort of thing again.